You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hello, everyone.
Test.
1, 2. This works, I think. For those of you who have listened to me yesterday, I announced that I would leave Discord, at least for a while, maybe forever, I don't know. But I don't want to leave without a bang. And the story you are going to hear today is a bang, I can assure you. This is one of the biggest, craziest stories of all, surpassing even Sandy Hook, and other similar stories we have seen in the past. It's a pretty little-known event, which is quite remarkable because it is huge. And what we're going to talk about is a story about a mass shooting, and it will be one of the craziest stories of the past 30 years. And at first glance, it may not be as important as 9/11 or Sandy Hook or the Boston bombings. Well, in reality, it is, because you will hear that at the end of this talk, in the conclusions, and you will hear why this is so much more important, even. Well, not 9/11, but definitely more than the Parkland school shooting everybody is talking about these days. There are multiple angles behind this, and there is a term I want to introduce today, and that is the term thug scare. Thug scare means an event. Napoleon, I am doing this alone, so I will move you. No, Napoleon, you are not welcome here. Go away. You are not welcome, and I will let you know that. Go away, Napoleon. I don't need to hear you, and you don't need to disturb this last call I am making. You can get out. Bye. Oh, what a fucking child you are. What a child. You go out now. What we are going to talk about is thug scare. Thug scares, psyops, they were very common in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. They were essentially the terror and school shooting psyops of today, meant to create fear in society of thugs running around. Well, there is some real thug running around, because we have Napoleon Wilson, who is doing just that. He is trolling this interesting talk. And so I will kick you out again. Bye-bye. But these thug scares, they had multiple purposes. They were used to create fear and present mass shootings, bank robberies. And also an important message of it was that the police and other law enforcement was there to protect the people against these thugs that were created in the first place. While their real role, of course, is protecting the interests of the elites. And there are some famous examples. We have Wyatt Earp and the OK Corral shooting. 1881, that has been covered in detail by fellow researcher Miles Mathis. Then we have Billy the Kid, of the same year. The other kid I will move again, because he is disturbing. Also in 1881, also covered by Miles Mathis. Then we have the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. Well, that is the name of the movie made from it. In 1882, but according to other reports, he was already killed in 1879. And this is the first example of the Zell rule, which says that if you make a movie out of an event, you can safely conclude that the event is fake. And then we have Calamity Jane and Buffalo Bill, famous names. What they did since 1883 was staging circuses. At that time, with opera for the higher classes, it was the lower class entertainment. Before there were movies, and before later in the next century, there was TV. So it was a way to popularize these criminals, these cowboys, and all that. Then we move to the Depression era of the 1930s with Bonnie and Clyde, also in a movie. 1934, and good research, I will put this all in the show notes, has been done by Tyrone McCloskey at Be Mindful. And from the same year, we have John Dillinger of the Dillinger Gang, and it was another one. There you go out again. And then there is one which is world famous, and world famous nobody has heard of. That combination is possible. That is the Norman Stork robbery. And that was a bank robbery that was allegedly taking place in Sweden in 1973. And nobody has heard about that robbery, but everybody has heard about the term that came from it, because it introduced the term in our everyday language of Stockholm Syndrome. At that bank, there was one of the hostages in the bank was creeping up, let's say, to the bank robber, and that is where the name Stockholm Syndrome comes from. There was just one bank robber in that bank robbery, Jan Erik Olsson, and a ridiculous and funny link to what we are going to see today is that during this hostage crisis, according to the story, he was able to call the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme. I don't know how he got the number of the Prime Minister from inside the bank, but apparently that happened, or not. That brings us back to today, because this Olof Palme was supposedly assassinated in 1986 on the 28th of February, which is exactly 11, the famous 11, years before this event I'm going to talk about today, the North Hollywood shootout. And seeing all those links and making all those links, I think that is the real value of looking into all these stories. And I would like to quote my favorite quote by Vladimir Nabokov, Russian writer, in his 1938 book, The Gift, and it's, quote, "What do you call genius? Well, seeing things others don't see, or rather the invisible links between things," unquote. I think that is really true what we do here and what I am doing today. And like I said, at the end of this talk, I will highlight what purpose there was behind this story, society changing purpose of this ridiculous, you are going to hear it, made for TV movie. And literally, because you can ask Michael Madsen, an actor, because he was in this movie. And in this talk, I will quote from research that is published at Wikipedia, where you also find references to the points made in this talk, and extra links will be in show notes of this audio. And if you haven't visited Wikipedia yet, I can recommend doing so. It's every day is growing, has a good collection of PSYOPs, every day more are added, and especially deeper research into them. And for that, the highlight of it is the analysis done by my fellow truth seeker, Faye, a lovely lady from Switzerland. And you may have heard our last call together about the Parkland shooting. Also, the link I will put in the show notes. And hopefully she is coming in later at the end of this this story. Well, let's start with this story. We are talking about 1997. We are talking about February 28th. Allegedly, at that day, in the morning, a bank robbery took place at, and don't laugh about this, but 6600 Laurel Canyon Boulevard. Laurel Canyon, yes, 6600. And where? In North Hollywood. So we are already in the military PSYOP movie-making area in Los Angeles. According to the story, we have two perpetrators, and I like to write perpetrators as a contamination of perpetrator and traitor, T-R-A-I-T-O-R. And they entered a branch of the Bank of America, heavily armed and armored with self-made armor. And then the story starts about what is going to happen here. But first, let me introduce the two perpetrators, so-called perpetrators of this story. We have Larry Eugene Phillips Jr. And we have a very difficult name, Decebal, or Decebal, I don't know, but it's officially Decebal, Stefan Emilian Matasarianu. Yes, I will call him Emil in the next hour, because it is a bit hard to pronounce. And these two guys, they were allegedly the bank robbers of the bank. And first let's go to Larry Eugene Phillips Jr. He was allegedly born on the 20th of September 1970 in Los Angeles. And then the story starts already to be strange, because his parents are listed, Daniel Ira Starfel, which sounds Jewish, and his wife Barbara Allen. So how can this guy be called Larry Eugene Phillips Jr.? Well, because it is said that both his parents faked their names on the birth certificate, because the real father's name was Larry Phillips Sr. And the mother's name, well, one name she is known under, Dorothy Clay. On this birth certificate, they gave the address where they lived as 1332 S. Bond Street. And this address doesn't exist. So it was a fake address, and fake names they gave their son on the birth certificate. And the parents said that their home states were Colorado for the father and Utah for the mother. Well, and then the story will get crazier and crazier. You will hear this. First, let's look at Larry's father. He apparently grew up in Colorado, or so, because he was living there, and he was like 17 or 18 years old. And he was arrested because he opened a grave and he removed the dead body's head. But it is said that it is an unsubstantiated story. And then he was interned in the Colorado State Reformatory prison in Buena Vista. And then the question arises, how can someone be put in jail for an unsubstantiated story? Well, he was in jail not for long. And when he got out, he immediately robbed a gas station in Adams County, Colorado. And then he was arrested again, and it says that he was is going to receive a 10-year sentence. I don't know, for robbing a gas station, 10 years, that's pretty long. But he already left jail after 3 months, and then he went into the Colorado State Mental Hospital. And it is said the reasons for his transfer are unfortunately low. On top of that, also his FBI file is untraceable, as are the medical records. In that mental hospital, after 10 months, he escaped, and it's unknown how that happened, but they believe that it happened using the system of tunnels that was below the hospital. When he escaped, that is when he started to use fake names. First, he used the fake name Charles Dawn. Sounds like Charles Darwin, but Charles Dawn. But then he started using the name Daniel Ira Starchel. And when asked, he said that he took the name of an old schoolboy, boy he went to school with, because it was such a lovely boy, and never suspected he would do something wrong. Well, the story at least. Let's go to Larry Jean Phillips Jr.'s mother, that is Dorothy Clay, or that is one of the names she used. And another name is Dorothy Lopez, which is said that she was from Mexican descent. And she was Larry Phillips' girlfriend. Apparently, she was heading for Salt Lake City, Utah, when they met together in Denver, Colorado. Well, there is very little information about her, and she doesn't even appear in the FBI file about Daddy Phillips, her later husband. And she was 9 years older than Phillips. The only listed occupation was prostitute. And she also has unsubstantiated stories that she ended up in jail and allegedly stabbed the fellow inmate. They got their son in Los Angeles, not in Colorado or in Utah. It's quite far away. Under the fake names. And then there's a story that in 1974, while she was apparently married to Larry Phillips Sr., she married for the second time with another guy in California, with Neil Henry Reynolds, apparently, or Brian Alton O'Neill, as his name, also a fake name, was. And after a couple of months, they already divorced. Well, that is strange as well. In 1976, Dorothy Clay and the little boy who later would become a bank robber, they moved to a small town. Well, it's actually a hamlet. It's Kiowa in Colorado. Why would someone do that if she's a prostitute? Well, there's not much work there. In 1970, there were just 235 people living there, and in 1980, there were only 202. So, in 1976, it was a very, very small town. And allegedly, Larry Phillips' father, Sr., he stayed in L.A. to work there as a painter. So, this Kiowa, Colorado, middle of the flat area of Colorado, so to the east of the Rocky Mountains, east of Denver. But there are a lot of Air Force bases around there. The Patterson Air Force Base, you have the Air Force Academy, you have the Colorado Army National Guard, and many more. So it is a pretty military area. And then what happened days after small Larry's birthday, and apparently his father visited him for his birthday, but then 2 days later, and then he was apparently arrested by federal agents, but for is unknown. That apparently happened there. Around that time, they were divorcing. Wow. And then Dorothy Clay allegedly moved back to LA, or to California, to LA, close to LA, with her son. So it was a short stay in Kiowa, Colorado. And then we fast forward to Philip's life, which was also an interesting bank robber. And he was still in contact with his father, and his father trained him in shooting and made him enthusiastic for wrestling and so. And the story goes that they lived in Pasadena, east of Los Angeles. And then he signed up for the Gold's Gym, which is a gym, and it says to be very famous. And he got a membership for 5 years. That Gold's Gym where he signed up is in Venice Beach, which is on the west coast, the Pacific coast, which is by road, take about 35 minutes, but the guy didn't have a car, he didn't have any money, he said. So why do you sign up for a 5-year membership if you don't have money at a famous and thus expensive gym at 30 miles or so out, 27 miles by road. So it is said that he went by bus, costing every time he went there a couple of hours, which is quite strange if there are other gyms in other parts of Los Angeles, which is not like Kiowa, Colorado, like a small village. At this gym, allegedly, according to part of the stories, but other stories tell a different thing, we have another guy who also lived in Pasadena and also went to that same gym. So made the same trip every time he went there, allegedly. And this guy is our second character of the story, Emil Matasariano, Emil. He was born in Timișoara in Romania. The name sounds Romanian, but the last name is pretty unique. And his parents, Viorel and Valerie, his mother was a member of the state opera, and his father was a political dissident. They decided to move to the United States because of the communist regime of Nicolae Ceaușescu. And they went to live in Pasadena, California, where his mother ran quite successful and in a nice villa and a business for to take care of people. According to one part of the stories, Emil was a bit chubby, and he was a bit nerdy, and that was introduced in the story to explain his so-called later behavior. And it was said he had an affinity for computers in the time when computers were still not very well marketed in the late 70s, early 80s, but okay. And he went to study electronics engineering, and he finished his studies there. What they did together, they started robbing other banks for this bank robbery. We have an account where an unspecified sum of money was stolen, apparently, in the first bank in another famous PSYOP town, namely of the 6 years later Columbine High School shooting of Littleton, Colorado. It was in 1993. Then, in 1995, they started to rob an armored car of Brinks, but then again in Los Angeles, California, where allegedly $120,000 was stolen. In 1996, another attempt, and it didn't go well. And then we had the first bank robbery there, where the Bank of America, there we have it again, was robbed, and allegedly $755,000. Sorry. And that was the 2nd of May of 1996, and just 4 weeks later, they also robbed another Bank of America, where they stole $794,000 in Los Angeles. And this set the stage for the bank robbery we will see today. There are lots of stories about these two guys, and they're very, very strange stories. Put the links in the show notes later. There is one photo, our Larry Phillips, who married allegedly a girl called Sharon Santos. And on this photo, he has a t-shirt of the Dallas Cowboys, which is quite strange. I mean, it can happen that you're a fan of another football team, American football team. But he grew up in Los Angeles and Colorado, Dallas Cowboys shirt. Well, it can happen. It doesn't mean anything, but it is remarkable. And this Phillips was also in shady business in Los Angeles, as he was doing scamming there, committing fraud, and in the business of properties, real estate, and so on. And he was one day he was arrested, and then his trunk, his car was opened. By that time, he could afford the car apparently. And in his trunk, in the trunk of his car, there was a book. And we have seen in other psyops where a book plays a role, like the lost passports of 9/11 and so on, and Paris and so on. This time it was not the catcher in the eye, was allegedly in the possession of Mark David Chapman, who allegedly murdered John Lennon, and also the other guy, what was his name, John Hinckley, who was arrested for the assassination attempt, one of many, of another actor, Ronald Reagan. And now this book was called The Master Manipulator, and I will put a link in the show notes by a guy, Homer Brickley Jr. And this book is about an allegedly real fraud taking place in Ohio, in Toledo, Ohio, by a guy named Edward Wolfram. Allegedly, he committed fraud using schemes and all that, where he stole 11 million US dollars, where he bankrupted the company, who had allegedly was worth also $110 million, so 11 again. Okay, keep playing with these numbers. Also, background on that story, put in the show notes. And then let's go to today, or next Wednesday, 21 years ago, because our two friends who are now introduced as crazy stories, they went to the Bank of America at 6600 Laurel Canyon. And they arrived there in the morning completely prepared. They had, according to the stories, our Phillips guy, he wore 18 kilos or 40 pounds of equipment, including bulletproof vests and other. They also made their own homemade armor, and they were literally filled with rifles and guns. They had automatic guns and semi-automatic guns, and they had a lot of ammunition. Everything in the one big, Adam Lanza and Stephen Paddock together couldn't get what these guys were having. It's literally crazy. And then in the back of their car, white Chevrolet, they allegedly had 3,300 rounds of ammunition extra. But what did they do? They placed a gem jar full of petrol in the back of the car, so it would be blown up in case they would be caught. Okay, that is a very strange way. And these guys, they took phenobarbital, which is a sedative to calm their nerves, allegedly, before going into the bank. They arrived at the bank at 9:17 in the morning, which adds up to 17. Also a major number in all these psyops with MH17 and others. And then they arrived there and they parked their car nose first. This is strange. If you don't want to get away from a bank robbery you're going to commit, the fastest way would be reverse parking, but apparently that was not the case. And they were sitting in the car for 2 minutes or so, and then they decided to go into the bank. According to one story, they got their guns from the back of the car, which would be strange. I mean, it would be much easier to have it in front or in the back seat and just enter the bank, but because they waited in the car, magically, they were seen by the police entering the bank and by other witnesses outside of that bank. Someone was using the ATM outside. And they had studied this bank, according to story, for 10 months in detail and surveying and everything. But apparently, they didn't do a good job because they got much less than what they were intending to get. They got into the bank, and then they, according to the story, and there is also a movie made about this so-called event. So that movie with Michael Madsen, I will link it also in the description, and there you see, and also according to the story here, that they were firing hundreds and hundreds of rounds of bullets into the ceiling to get the people quiet and get them on the ground and scare them. And then there's a picture of the security camera inside the bank of the ceiling, and there is nothing to see. It's just a perfectly fine ceiling. You see people lying on the floor. So that already doesn't add up. I must also highlight that these guys, they apparently wore ski masks, and they were completely, they were protected, and their body was protected, but their legs were not. But both of these guys, they owned a motorcycle. And if you want to rob a bank, and you are together, what you can do is just put a lot of ammunition and weapons in the car, and drive the car and the motorcycle, and then you have to get away options. Which I would do, and actually I have done this because I've done this same robbery. I've played it, I've done it, and I didn't die. But it was because this event is featured in the game Grand Theft Auto 5, where you have to do this mission. You have to rob the bank and scare the people and get away with different cars and shoot at the police outside, which is what will happen later. So if they would go on a motorcycle, they also have helmets, which is better to be made bulletproof than a ski mask. okay, these guys did 10 months of preparation. Apparently, they forgot about those ideas. And when they were in the bank, there was luckily for them, the bank was constructed, the vault of the bank was constructed that it could could stop bullets, but only bullets from handguns, of course, not of big rifles, automatic, semi-automatic guns they had. So luckily they had those guns and they could just easily shoot the vault open. Okay, and then inside they found much less money than what they expected. Apparently they didn't do their study for 10 months that well, because only, and this is, again, so crazy this. There was 303, plus 2, so 5 US dollars in the vault. And they got that, and they also got another present, which was 3 dye bags, which went off when they left the bank afterwards, so making everything useless. But 303, 305 US dollars. Inside, they spent quite some time inside, only 8 minutes, but still, in the last minutes, they did something which was completely unnecessary, because they were the most heavily people in all the US at that moment, and they were busy locking the bank personnel inside the vault. And why, I don't know, they were unarmed, they couldn't ringing alarms, well, the police were already outside, so they would, the police were there already, so that was not very useful, especially one of the bank robbers, allegedly, our friend Phillips, he left the bank, he went outside, the front, where the car was parked, and then saw all the police in the car, or in front of the bank. But the question is, if the Phillips, because there's also security cam footage shown in the link description, is that this guy is wearing a light-colored coat, light mask or face, and light-colored shoes. While there are other photos where he wore all black. The same for Emil, also all black. So that is maybe a continuity here. The story. We had the police gathering outside while they were still in the bank. And Phillips went into the bank again. I don't know why, because to lock up all these people in the vault for no reason whatsoever. And then outside, the police, two so-called witness testimonies, we have Detective Krulak. He recalled that he thought that the bank robbers had not handguns. Well, that's strange, because both before they entered the bank and at the time of Phillips exiting the bank, there is clearly seen, yes, AK-47-like rifle. And also the shots they would hear were from automatic and semi-automatic guns. So it is not a very professional idea. Then what happens? Then the real story, the movie, actually starts, because the guys went outside together, and then there was the shootout starting with the police. According to the story, there were allegedly more than 300 police involved in all of this. And there we had a huge shooting, and that is shown in a movie about this, and that is will be linked, so you have the chance to watch it, and it is really a crazy shooting. According to the stories, the guys fired 1,100 rounds, at the police. And the police fired just 650 rounds, also 11, back at them. Firing 1,100 rounds, but only 18 people were apparently injured by that. This is quite a low number. And nobody got killed outside the police, and there were civilians, and there were witnesses, there were people from the media, because this whole story was filmed live, shown live on TV. It was literally a made-for-TV movie. And outside, they were shooting a couple of minutes, and then what is part of the story, that is really the craziest thing you've ever heard. According to the story, the police was so much, I mean, they were not outnumbered. If you have 300 police against two guys, then you're not outnumbered. But the police, the poor LAPD, they were really poor and not well prepared for two guys who had the craziest amount of weapons and ammunition and so on, and protection and armor and whatever. So the police, some of the police, they were already they had 300 police and 650 bullets. So maybe two and a half per person. Well, not every policeman shoots, I guess, but still, it is a very strange number. But apparently, the police, there were too many bullets, and we cannot do this. So what did the police do during that shootout? They went to a local gun store to buy guns. And then they went back and started shooting again. It's a fucking movie, this. Then, like I said, the whole event filmed by a helicopter by the news, and it was broadcasted on TV. And I linked this live broadcast in the show notes, and where there you can see 30 seconds into the video, Larry Phillips. Both of the guys, they went different ways, because apparently they couldn't take their car, because all the police was there shooting, which is strange, and we will see that later. We see a guy in dark clothes, completely black, who hides behind some bush. There's no real cover, but hides behind the bush. And the story says that he allegedly shoots himself, but at the same time gets shot by the police too. And you could conclude that from the movie, from the TV movie, but later images show a different story. And then he falls down to his side. Then the chopper camera switches to the police that was shooting him, or behind the car. And then the camera goes to the white Chevy that apparently got started, and they could apparently leave, where Emil was driving, and you see the open trunk. Why? I don't know, but probably to make it recognizable as the actor car in the movie. And he is driving there on the road slowly. He's not speeding or anything. I mean, this guy needs to get away from this whole craziness of bullets fired and all that. And the craziest bank robbery of LA, probably it is. And, but he's not speeding because, they said by the storytellers that his tires were shot. But then, still, for that, he still moves slowly. He drives slowly. He stops in the 1 minute 15 video. He stops in the middle of the road. And then he gets out of the car on the passenger side. And I don't know why he does that. Because he is limping across the front, around the front of the car, and then opens the driver door and gets into the car again. It's completely useless, and doesn't make sense that he would go out the passenger side if the driver door works, and use that one. And then he drives off again. And he stops again in the road, and he is making all kinds of strange moves. And he passes another road, And he has lots of opportunities to get other cars. He still has weapons and ammunition. He can just stop another car and then steal it, carjack another car, and then get away fresh tires. And then at the 3:24 in the video, the commentator in the chopper filming all this, he starts speaking and he says, it appears by the way he moves, the suspect may be hit and injured. Yeah, that could be, but still for that, make strange moves. The car would be completely unnecessary. And he had all the opportunity to get away and finish the GTA 5 mission. But apparently he was not a very good gamer at all. That's quite some experience in bank robberies, but he didn't think that. And then at 3:30 in the video, strange glitch in the footage, which appears to be continuous at least. But it is said that he is firing, and he was firing at the police helicopters. So there are police helicopters, there's news helicopters, everything is there in the air. And we have a collection of 300 police back at the bank, and we have hundreds of police cars and SWAT team. And the SWAT team they came to the bank, and they were wearing tennis shoes and short pants because allegedly they were on exercise. And then they were called, and then they were at the bank. There was an emergency. So very strange. But okay. And something more stranger even happens with Emil when he's driving. At 3:40 in the video, this is really it's bullshit, because there is a yellow pickup truck. It's parked in the middle of the road. You see cars passing it, but it's in the middle of the road, and there's nobody inside. So why would a car just standing there and not doing nothing? Of course, to make the movie. And then the chopper commentator, he says, it appears that he tries to get to the other vehicle, or that he has some kind of discussion with the driver or something. But there is no driver. He throws in a rifle through the open driver window and then steps into the car, the pickup truck. He tries to drive off. But according to the story, this guy, the electric engineer, and he went to university, and so, he's not really smart because he doesn't know how to do a manual drive a manual car. And it's very, very difficult, of course. It's completely okay to shoot 1,100 rounds and survive all that, and police, all that, but manual stick driving, that's a big problem. So, then he gets out of the car again, and then at that moment, it's at 5 minutes into the video, finally there is one police car coming, one from the front, the direction from the bank where the bank is at north, and where MU came from, white car. And there are, according to the story, it was the SWAT team that was using a police car, and then three members come out and they hide behind the car, and then there is another shootout of our friend Emil with the SWAT team. And then at 6:20 in the video, the chopper out to the south, and then the commentary goes, what appears there is another black and white unit approaching the other side. You don't see anything, there's no thing. So it's just storytelling, but there's no visual proof that it's actually happening. Then the video, the camera zooms back in Emil and his SWAT friends. But still, if it would be the case, it takes 6 minutes for these guys to come there. It was all filmed from the air. It was police helicopters. I mean, they know where it is, and they had allegedly 300 police and 100 police cars or so. But no, they only sent one car. Why not? And then these SWAT team members, they patrol around the car and around the pickup, which is parked between the police car and Emil's car. And Emil was behind behind the front of his own car. And then, apparently, he stopped shooting, and then the SWAT team approached him, and then he's taken down. But he's not really taken down, because, according to the story, he didn't die there. Well, he died there, but not in that moment. Because the story goes that he was fatally hurt by bullets. And then after all this, they just left him.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Ah, that was the shout of the woman in the bank, because there was an old woman, a 79-year-old woman, who was hit in the head by one of the guns because she didn't comply or something. So that was her nice attitude. But then, Emil, he was lying there in the street, and his family later claimed that he, because the police, they left him there, fled. And, they didn't take him to a hospital or so, no ambulance, nothing. And he just leave on the street, daylight, Los Angeles, that's what you do. And he was left there for an hour. Apparently, he bled to death there on the street. That story says. But in all this craziness, all this storytelling and continuity errors, and all that, there were no roadblocks by the police, what you would expect. There was no police chase. He wasn't chased by anything, by a helicopter, failed, but there was no police car going after him. There was no police car going from the other side. And this guy is driving, like, what is it, 15 kilometers an hour, 10 miles an hour. This is just completely great. Yeah, he had lots of opportunity to get away, just get another car. I mean, he still had his weapons and his armor and everything, and then just get away. But he was driving in his favorite white Chevrolet. And he really liked that car, and the open trunk with the petrol gem jar in the back that apparently was lost from the story, so he didn't blow up. I don't know why they introduced it. This whole crazy actually had a purpose, and of course there are many purposes. One of them is to make a nice movie. Well, they made two. They made the live, so-called live footage, and they made the movie on 44 minutes, over 44 minutes, the North Hollywood Shootout. And there was another post-programming event, band Megadeth. They produced a song, 44 minutes. Well, and of course the mission, the Palito score in the game, Grand Theft Auto 5. So there are different ways to indoctrinate post-program that into our minds. And there is of course the scaremongering and the thugs running around. There is the money scam, because what do banks do? They stage these robberies, profits, to when they allocate the cost of protection and surveillance and new vaults that are more bulletproof, and to customers. They do it, and they have the money. It's not lost. So. And what they do is they invert the reality, of course. They are saying that the normal people robbers, but actually the banks are the robbers themselves, of course. But the most important element of the crazy story is this ridiculous part of it, that the police went during a shooting to buy guns in a local gun store. And that more than crazy element that led to a heavy armament of the LAPD. And this is actually a key thing in history, because this gun control or gun sales of these school shootings in Las Vegas and so today, and in Sandy Hook and so, yeah, may have an impact, but the other side of the story is much more impacting. So arming the police more, so then you can have guns whatever you want, but if the police is armed much better than the robbers in this case, that was not the case. So now the police has all these heavy guns, and that is actually a change in society. I mean, imagine that someone was living in the 1950s, where you have one sheriff in town or so. If they look at what is now the police and SWAT teams and all that, and they think it's some RoboCop demolition man Orwellian craziness. I mean, we are now so-called youth, but insane. But those heavily armed SWAT teams and all these law enforcement people, they are like this because of mainly this event, because it was a huge event in effect, but also similar other events. They stage these things to arm the police. And that is, it's completely out there in the open. It's clear. I mean, they tell this in the Wikipedia, it's linked in the Wikipedia article. I mean, they just say, yeah, the police had to buy guns in the guns. And this whole shooting led to the heavy armament of the police. It's just out there. And yeah, it's really a crazy story. I hope you enjoyed this story and read about it more in the links I will share. And please support and subscribe to fakeologist.com, where I will still be busy on the Wikipedia and the forum blog, but we'll leave Discord and their drunk thugs alone. There's not much to learn from them. So someone else I would like to invite to the chat, if she is available. I talked about her. That is our lovely, always happy lady. And Faye, are you there? Are you listening in? Faye is not there. Wow, that was it then.
Hello, I'm right behind you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Right behind you.
Ah, welcome,
nice
welcome.
Description.
Yeah? You liked it? You liked it, Faye? Sorry, what is happening?
I'm echoing. I'll come back.
Okay.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. I can hear you fine. Napoleon.
Can you help us?
Napoleon, this is a chat between us. And no, Napoleon.
Oh, no. I'm not staying if you two are going to fight.
I am not fine. He needs to leave. Ciao, mister. You have had your time. Fucking ciao, you are. Well, that's it then, Faye. I want to help to ban Napoleon and then chat together or so, and then maybe not. Thank you all then for this. And Napoleon, you can go on. Bye. Have some decency and you don't have that little child. So, thank you, Faye, and time we will do this, okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Your
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Alright, here I am. Did I do it right? Oh wait, actually I think I just... No? I'm good.
Two on that. Okay. Try to take two on that. Okay, here we are in the live stream on fakeologist.com. It's Monday, the 26th of February, 2018. I'm here with a new voice, Zoetic Luna, and I'm also here with Napoleon Wilson. Zoetic Luna's from Costa Rica, and he lives in Florida now. So do you want to say hello? Hello, Napoleon. Hello, new voice, Zoetic Luna.
All right. Greetings, all world people.
Yeah. And so, do you have any thoughts on the Florida PSYOP that we've been privy to, David Hogg and that nonsense?
Well, the only thing, David Hogg, I don't know if that's the name that I recognize, but I have been following the shooting with, is it Carlos Cruz or something, Nicolas Cruz, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm aware that about only 40,000 people out of the 20.61 million that live here even watch that. And so it's not being bought. So I'm happy about that. A lot of people know about the lady that called up in the FBI, and he got caught in school with the ammo and everything. That should have made him a felon. They should have taken his guns away. That's what I think. But sure. Yeah, it was definitely not. You know, I'm not surprised that it wasn't handled the way it should have.
That's the media for you. Let's just go back to the beginning. How did you find Fakeologist and? How did you find this site?
Well, I was, I was trying to reach people on my Facebook. I'm actually live on this, on my Facebook, like on my actual Facebook, like my family, my friends, everybody knows. I have a good track record, I suppose, so they tolerate it more or less, but I was like, there's nobody giving me feedback, so I was like, okay, let me look into where I can go and reach out to people, have them reach out to me. So I just Google like Discord conspiracies and or conspiracy Discords, and then this was one of them and a few others. And now I'm down to two of like the first five that I joined. This one looks like a good one, so I'm staying.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I don't like that word conspiracy. I mean, it sounds too much like conspiracy theorists. Are you a conspiracy theorist?
I touch the subjects, but I don't commit to anything that I can't prove.
It's what's called an ad hominem attack. If the media wants to get out of anything, all they do is call us names. That's all they can do. They've got nothing to back them up. You sound like a fairly young guy. Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm actually 25.
25, yeah, that's fine. And there's no point asking you where you were on 9/11 because you were probably too young, but your thoughts on 9/11? Do you have any? Have you watched September Clues? Have you?
I mean, there's a lot of things that take a long time, I feel, to try and get someone to like open up to in conversation. But I mean, I find like that's one of the easier ones. Like a lot of my friends that don't even. I guess I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist, but most of my friends don't even. Aren't, and they're still like, they're like, okay, yeah, I mean, I can't take that. It doesn't even seem real. I mean, how, just like the fact that the host protected, I mean, we spent like $651 million versus Russia, which is only like 50, and we somehow weren't able to stop, you know, a few people and planes, and as you look into like what was going on in the
definitely.
Yeah, over to you, Napoleon. Yeah.
But what I'm going to say there is, once you realise we the people that run the place are not, they're not confined by boundaries and landmarks and wars and this and this bleeds. These things can happen on a smaller scale, like 911 or 7/11, whatever you want to call it. It was a small scale. Remember, it was only Manhattan that was closed down. Nothing. In the past, we've seen entire wars, you know, scripted. So, yes. all depends where you're looking at it from, but to be at the level you are now is wonderful. Glad you're here. Yeah, it's nice to see people who actually see things as what they are. Is that just fake, you know, no wars. Absolutely. Okay, I'm back. Nobody's talking, so what happened? So Zoetic Luna, I mean, you've got to go and play basketball in 40 minutes or something, so is anything on your mind, like specific, that intrigues you, interests you about media fakery and the whole, how we're not told the truth, we're just told a pack of lies? A pack of lies, that's what the media gives us, and they'll never give us the truth. I posted a thing new on Amazon Prime. It's going to be The Lone Tower or something. It looks like total dog shit to me, but I wouldn't pay for it. Wouldn't go from here to here and pay to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking into that, and I mean, I guess the best I could ever do is spark up the conversation that the government somehow, or sometimes rather, doesn't properly address it, doesn't properly, like, with the shooting, like I was saying, like they didn't do anything, like literally they didn't do anything, and for them, for all that stuff to happen, they're trying to make it as an excuse, like, oh, we could have handled it better, I feel. But no, it's not you could have handled it better, you could just not done it. I mean, you could have just not done the craziest thing. I mean, I remember actually back then, when it first happened, I saw the footage of it falling, and I was like, even in my young mind, I was like, well, that's odd how they fell, like, straight down. Like, that was kind of convenient, man. Good thing nobody else got hurt, I was thinking. You know, I was looking in a good perspective. But when I looked into it, I was like, it is very weird how it went down like that. And then there was, like, little to no remains and, you know, all the stuff about the, I don't remember what the thing is called. It's getting rid of cancer and dying from it now, but that thing.
Yeah, so you cottoned on to that. Have you watched Simon Shack? He's a friend of Fakeologist. September Clues, have you watched that at all?
No, I've looked into it. I love to read, yeah.
Go to YouTube, and when you got the chance, it goes for an hour or so, an hour and a half. He did it in 2007, so it does say at the beginning, to all the 3,000 victims. He's since changed his stance on that because he's done the victim report with Hoi Polloi. So do yourself a favour and watch that. But just in regards to these, well, let's just go back to the Florida one just quickly. I listened to a thing where Sophia Smallstorm was talking with, I think it was Jim Fetzer, I could be wrong, but American towns now bid on these things, apparently. Bid on hoaxes. You know what I mean? They get money from the federal government to run hoaxes. That just blows my mind.
I mean, it's everywhere. Like, even sports, they're like, they have all that betting on the background that I'm aware of. Because I love sports. I've played it my whole life. I mean, I'm about to play basketball in 20 minutes and everything. And, like, And I get it, like, it's entertainment, it's an entertainment industry, it's all it was ever meant to be, but it's still a lie, like, people don't know about it, it's just the degree is everywhere, it just lies everywhere, and...
Yeah, corruption and whatnot. Let me ask you, are you a professional basketballer, do you play in the NBA, or are you just a local?
No, I close to making it to D1 once, but I wasn't, you know, other things came up, and I was like, you know what, let me just, the biggest thing, though, but no, I'm not a professional.
How tall are you? Because it's quite a, that sport, to me, is quite, discriminatory. If you're short, you've got no chance.
Yeah, you know, that was actually the main thing why I actually, at some point, stopped playing basketball, like, competitively. I'm 5'6", and then I switched to soccer. That was really my
5'6", you got no chance.
Yeah, a little.
Sorry,
little no chance.
Can you? I'd say there's no chance of you dunking. Have you ever dunked?
Without a trampoline.
I can
touch the rim, but hope like you know to dunk.
Yeah, you can't. You
like,
can't stuff. You can't. You can't stuff it in. Yeah.
No, cannot. I apparently mean layup and everything, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I was a pretty wicked 3-point shooter when I was a younger man. Yeah, I could. I could nothing but net. But we're not here to talk about
soccer. Yeah.
Not here to talk about basketball. How about let's just talk randomly. SpaceX and the Elon Musk and the Tesla car going out of space.
You know, I've touched everything a little bit, I feel, and I've been looking into that, and whenever somebody talks about, I mean, I don't know, you said that this wasn't really a conspiracy, you know, thing, but I still want to touch into this, like, people ask me, like, what do you think that shape of the Earth is, and I have my own, you know, theory, like, or hypothesis, I should say is the right word, and everybody has their own thing, and I looked into it, but I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, it really, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter what the shape of the Earth is. The predominant problem is the shadow government is censoring any and all truths. So you got to give it to that before you can really talk about this like that. But the whole Elon Musk thing, I mean, in my head, if he is legitimately trying to, like, you know, colonize Mars, then I'm kind of, like, waiting on him to come up with something. I mean, maybe give me some more ammo to talk about, but I don't know. I don't know what to think of.
I think you're right there. I think you're right there. The only defense that NASA, the fucking lying bastards that they are, and Leon, or Elon, or whatever his name is, Elon, SpaceX, is to call you a flat earther. It's just like I could call you a conspiracy theorist. Napoleon, come on.
No.
All right, come on, Napoleon.
Right, no, right. So first of all, what was the main argument there? sorry, I forgot your name. Zoetic Luna. What was the first thing you said there? Go on. Because at the end of the day, right, literally, right, it doesn't matter what you're looking at above your head.
It doesn't matter what.
Yeah. So the people who are in charge are not going to be in charge of what the ground shape is. They never have been. All it is the interpretation. Now, literally, you ready for this? Newton hijacked nature. You've seen an apple form on a tree. We see the way the masons treat. We see the way the masons treat the melon or the magnetic structure around said fucking object. So I said to you, you'll never see a magnet with two poles. The way it's treated, it is one big thing. It's one big analogy. He stole nature and expected people to swallow it. Look, the ground never changed. It doesn't matter who's in charge. The ground's not changing. Right? That's just what I'm up to. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, it's not that it doesn't matter, but it's just like if it comes to any real conclusive truth, you sure got to get rid of the people that are hiding it, you know? And it really
I don't think it matters. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it
matters. It doesn't matter. We're still killing it. We're still being censored. We still can't know the truth. We're still in an age of misinformation. We're still, like, it doesn't really matter.
No. When I say I don't think it matters, I mean, I don't think it matters once he explained the globe. You know, take it back to before that age, and then it doesn't matter. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We've not really proved anything with the atomic weight of things in the past. In fact, all they've done is basically they've disproved themselves over about 250 years constantly, which is what's funny. I do love it. It's wonderful.
What do we love? Oh, sorry, I just went for a smoke.
Just saying there, by adding more laws to the atomic weight and how these particles interact with each other, they've actually disproved themselves more and more times than we know, which is why most of the masons are being sent out now to do flat earth videos and be what it is.
Unfortunately. Discredited by association.
That's Simon's limited approach to it. It's actually
we still don't have his book yet. I'll make my thoughts up when I read Simon.
It's the biggest double bluff going. It's actually the first one they've done. The Masons have never done a double bluff as big as this. Now you've got people who are actually pushing for the same the same
disinformation. Disinformation.
No. The same outcome. Basically, the same outcome. And you've been able to throw. Hang on, one sec. Been able to throw NASA under the bus. And also, basically, comb everybody who's questioning the heliocentric model out of the way, because now we're going to have the geocentric model. This is what's fucking hot. Clues for them, we've been pushing for fucking 8 years. The heliocentric model. The geocentric model. And that's bullshit as well. It's a fucking big spinning fucking thing above our Earth covered in lights. There's one moving part. It doesn't take much to work out. Literally, it doesn't. That's why we've had And remember, I don't come into this shit lightly. You just had this. Don't come into this shit heavy in your maths, right? So I worked out that precession was basically the difference between a 365-day year or a 360-day year over a 360-degree calendar times by 72 degrees, and then all you're doing is you're adding and subtracting. One of them is the moon's helio. Oh, fuck me. I forgot it was. The other one's the sun. And that's what works out. Now, look, I'm
We've only got a limited time. Listen.
One sec. Now, I put all this in writing. Right? I put all the maths in writing. Right? And this comes to the native, not paid any attention. And they were coming up to me and saying, oh, he's disrupting. I'm not disrupting shit. If you've seen the amount of maths that I've done, then exactly what you do is you say, Jesus Christ, I can't believe you've got someone on here who's going to go through this shit. Work out one stone, Phil. Work out fucking Einstein. Work out all these other different cunts. And then all of a sudden call me because, listen. So if someone goes in the live stream and I want to listen to him, I'm going to listen to him. So Gail, right, if you can't sit in the live stream without me fucking staring at you in the corner, something wrong with you, my mate, because you're in the fucking wrong world for this. Right? Right?
We have a new voice.
We have a new voice.
You've got to go and play basketball.
Hang on. You've got to go and play. It's a bit of a typo, so you'd have a bit of fucking dance through, right? Now that this goes back working, we're going to incorporate typo. We're going to get rid of you, Gail. So that's it. It's a typo. Get your fucking disco pants on, mate, because you're back in.
All right. Look, we've got Zoetic Luna only for the next half an hour or so. He's got to go and play basketball. Look, all I can say is I listened to Sharky and Ab have a chat yesterday. If you want to hit Ab up for a introductory conversation, then he'll verify you if you're not verified already. And if you're interested in this subject, and that means media fakery, planetary or whatever it is, geocentrism, heliocentrism, if you want to go there, that's fine. But mostly, it's the media and their lies and their just total inability to ask questions when it comes to stories that they're fed by authorities like governments, whatever they say. It's real. They will not question. They will not question. They'll just take it on board. And that's the problem I have with it. And I think that's the problem Ab had with it. And he certainly put that to Sharky yesterday. And Sharky's saying maybe we're not helping, maybe we're hindering the furtherment of humankind. But unless people like Napoleon Wilson and me and you chip away at this bullshit, we're never going to get anywhere further. And, has he left us? I think we've lost Zoetic Luna, but I'll hang on mute. Napoleon, come on back. You're always welcome.
Zoetic's still there, my mate. Just quiet.
He might be going for a smoke, like I just went for one, and he seems like a cool guy to me. So I'd be interested to hear him and Ab have a one-on-one, and like he did. Did you listen to Sharky yesterday? Ab's just got back from Mexico, so he's been partying on down there. I bet he's had a great time.
He got terrible saying he's partying. He's probably not. He's probably helped loads of people on the way.
No, we've lost Zoetic Luna, so he must have to go and play basketball. But hey. Good on him for coming in and having a, introducing himself to fakeologists who will listen to this. Yeah.
I do let people with a keen eye, and people who play basketball and throw balls in hoops usually have a keen eye. So.
Yeah, well, I could throw a mean three-pointer back in the day. Not anymore. I break my arm. I break my arm, and now I can't even pitch a baseball or throw a basketball. My right arm's fucking screwed. Anyway. All right, well, that'll be enough for today. Hey, Napoleon, hang around. Don't piss off. I think Guy has left us, as he said yesterday he doesn't want to be on the Discord anymore.
He has a little bit of a problem with people. So.
Dave J, you've got to have a thick skin to be a fakeologist, and I'm pretty sure Guy does. He's a great guy to me. I look forward to catching
everybody
up.
Everybody on the Lisbon. Worth listening to, I'll be honest with you. But some people.
Yeah. Did you listen to the mega chat we had with Dave J and John LeBron and all those guys? Yeah,
of course.
That went pretty well, I think. Oh, thanks, mate. Well, enjoy your day and on this convex Earth. I'll talk to you another time. I've got shit to do, but yeah, it's always good to hear your voice, Napoleon. Denny, I'll call you Denny. Yep.
And you, my mate.
Okay, mate. See ya.
All the best. Waterloo.
Hiya, this is Mahatma Kurt from the UK, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.